the dark triad of criminal tenderpreneurs, crooked cops, and captured politicians has not only cost the country billions, but it has led to the lives of an untold number of people. We speak to Jack Bloom, the Democratic Alliance Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng Northwest Hospital.
Good to be with you.
The true scale of the looting is becoming clearer by the day. Let's start with Thembisa.
Well, it's just an astonishing 2 billion rand and still counting, actually. And we did sort of know this beforehand, but it's now been established that there were three major syndicates, I mean, the largest of which siphoned off 813 million rand with 41 front companies. And this major syndicate is actually is Mr. Hangwani Morgan Maumela, who happens to be the nephew of President Cyril Ramaphosa by a previous marriage, so certainly political connections there. And in fact, we also found out that Vusimuzi Katmaklala, has been implicated in all sorts of things, actually got tenders with contracts worth 13.5 million rand as part of this Maumela consortium. So, I mean, you know, the implications of this are immense about political connections and political protection. And then there were two other major mafia groups, frankly. They call them syndicates, and six more so-called smaller ones, which are also quite substantial. But, you know, Thembisa Hospital is not a large hospital. You know, we're looking at a mid-sized hospital, and over a period of 2 to 3 years, this money was just siphoned off more than 2 billion rand. And they were overspending their budget, grossly overspending their budget over this period, and nobody at head office picked it up or called it into question until Babita Deokaran did. She blew the whistle internally on it. And that's the big mystery here, is that who tipped off the people actually assassinated her, because it was a limited number of people who would have known. She told the chief financial officer at the time, who said that she would investigate, but of course didn't. And then Babita was murdered. And then the money was temporarily blocked. You know, Babita Deokaran had asked for these payments, these very fishy payments. She'd identified, red flagged, 850 million rands worth, and she wanted a certain portion of that to be blocked immediately. They were blocked and then quietly unfrozen thereafter. So it shows you the high level collusion. And you know, the biggest thing about this whole thing is we would have known nothing of the extent of this massive corruption if it wasn't for a reporter called Jeff Wicks of News 24, because the police had Babita Deokaran's laptop and her cell phone. They did nothing with it for an entire year. Then it was returned to the family, and that's when Jeff Wicks went through and analyzed it, all work that they should have done. And in fact, if he hadn't released this publicly, we wouldn't have even seen an SIU investigation. I mean, that's the horror of it all. And we have to ask now, you know, how widespread is this at other hospitals? I think it is. And, one of the big things that came out to me from the SIU report is I was waiting to see about blacklisting of companies. There's one reference to blacklisting right at the very end, and it doesn't sort of go further than that. And I've been asking more questions about legislature about whether these companies have got further contracts. I've already established that other hospitals got contracts. Mamelodi Hospital, for one, was one of them. And I think that we need to, the rot is across the board, actually. And the DA has been calling now for some time for the health MEC to be fired and the head of department to be removed, because we don't think they're doing what is needed to clear up this department.
Just going to back to the political connections, Jack, with Hangwani Maumela, President Cyril Ramaphosa's nephew by the previous marriage. Apparently, he also forged certificates to bid for a 1 billion rand catering contract at a Northwest hospital.
Well, that's just come out now. So I think he's probably bid in other provinces as well. He's clearly politically connected, and I'm saying to you now, politically protected. Look, I sort of was disappointed a bit with the SIU investigation, its interim report, and they now hope to conclude it probably by the end of next year. There are four matters referred to the NPA, but the concentration seems to be more on the lower level employees. Yes, they're completely, you know, implicated, and it couldn't have happened without their collusion. And 122 million rand was paid to these officials. There's 13 officials identified. The recommendations are 116 disciplinary referrals. So each of them is facing more than 10 disciplinary infractions. But yes, they hopefully discipline speedily, and we don't have to spend too much money suspended while on pay. What about the big fish? I don't see any criminal referrals about them. I don't see criminal charges. You know that the NPA is just a black hole, as we know. You know, things go there and nothing comes out. We can't let this drag on and on. You know, there's the wheels came off in the Gauteng Health Department actually more than 15 years ago under the MEC-ship of Brian Hlongwa. And he's been investigated to death for many years. Charges were eventually laid. It ended up in court and various delays. 15 years later, that corruption of the Gauteng Health Department has still not, come to court and been concluded. So we cannot have another 15-year process with this, particularly as I believe that the syndicates are still busy in other hospitals. And that's why the DA is saying, you know, change the personnel at the top. Can I just tell you, President Lesufi, who made, you know, nice remarks yesterday about fighting corruption, he was the one that appointed as head of department a person who himself is being investigated by the SIU for allegedly taking about 10 million rand in bribes together with two other people for influencing tenders. Now, my goodness me, you know, in a department like this, or any department for that matter, how do you appoint as a head of department someone also being invested by the SIU? And I've put this to Premier Lesufi, and he said, oh, we don't have a final report. Well, you know that final reports take forever. I mean, it's just unacceptable. And then we had a further fishy business where the Premier was suspending and moving various heads of departments, and he said the head of the Gauteng Health Department was being finalised, and we were all expecting some news there. And he said, oh, you know, we've got three heads of departments who have failed their lifestyle audits, but he won't tell us which three. And I suspect one of them is the head of the Gauteng Health Department. Anyway, I put this to him directly in a question for oral reply session a few weeks ago. And he said, oh, no, he had just signed off on an extension of the lifestyle audit of the head of the Gauteng Health Department. Well, yesterday he said all the audits had been concluded. Well, I want to hear what's happening with the head of the Gauteng Health Department, who frankly should be removed not just because he's being investigated by the SIU, but this department is a comprehensive failure, however you look at it. They've got accruals of 8 billion rand hanging over them from last year. They don't pay suppliers on time. There's a scandal all the time. The court has ruled twice against them on the non-treatment of cancer patients who are dying because they're not getting treatment, radiation treatment. The budget's already there. They're just not actually spending it. So on the grounds of incompetence alone, Mr. Lesiba Arnold Melitano, currently heads of the Gauteng Health Department, which be removed. So I put it to the Premier. I said, well, you know, you seem to have an official who's more powerful than you. You can't remove him, and that's because there's political protection. So that's the rot that we have. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to give any kudos to the Premier because he says he's entered into a working agreement with the SIU. Well, you must change your people at the top of the Gauteng Health Department, else this looting is just going to continue.
Now, one of the other syndicate bosses, the infamous Kat Matlala, has been exposed as one of the big five cartel. Now, three of them have not been named. Have you any ideas, Jack?
Well, you know, the So there's a mysterious ex syndicate, and the other one they do have a name, and we need to look at the connections involved here and follow it up. But look, what we really need to do is streamline this process. And we need to get prosecutions going. We need to have specialized courts. That's what we actually need to do. But look, you know, the place where you could get quick prosecutions is, you know, when they contravene, you know, the there are being referrals, thank goodness, by the SIU. A lot of these companies, you know, they had fake compliance certificates, fake DE certificates, and they were none of them. You know, they were selling medical devices. None of them were compliant with the SA Health Products Regulatory Authority, SAHPRA. So they have referred, I think the number was 45 infractions of this to SAHPRA. And, you know, that's a statutory infraction. So that's an easy win. It's slowly hanging fruit. And I think we should go for it because, you know, catch them on their tax matters, catch them on, you know, the fact that none of these companies should have been allowed to bid in the first place because they weren't compliant. But it can't be just restricted to the 13 officials. It has to extend further to the syndicate bosses. And I'm not seeing movement in of that, but really that should be prosecuted speedily, and then we at least get you know, some sort of action going. But let's come to the big question: who ordered the hit on Babita Deokaran? So yes, they got six of the people who actually shot her, who were involved in the actual murder. Who gave the order? Now, I think we can have our suspicions now, because now we see people who are embedded in criminal networks, and the police are implicated as well, because, you know, none of this could have happened without high-level collusion. So at the Gauteng Health Department head office, you know, they didn't notice, supposedly, for 3 years that the budget is being grossly exceeded, and that, you know, 2 billion rand was being overspent. It was a question of overspending, never mind anything else. And obviously they knew about it. I mean, else they're not doing their jobs, or else they're completely incompetent, which mostly they are. But I think they did know about it. And the fact that the payments that were initially frozen, that Babita Deokaran had red flagged and then were released, shows you everything you need to know. But let's take the previous chief financial officer. Her name is Lerato Madyo. She was paid in full for 2 years as she was investigated, and I think it was 13 serious charges. She got paid 3 million rand for doing nothing. And then shortly before the conclusion, she was allowed to resign. Then sort of got off scot-free, and, you know, who knows, she's probably going to pitch up again at some state-owned enterprise. You know, this is how immoral this whole thing is. And at the moment, you know, she's got off scot-free with her 3 million rand payoff and her pension fund money. So, you know, the DA is going to follow this up. I mean, we're absolutely determined that, you know, nobody gets off on this and that charges are laid. And, you know, frankly, if the NPA is not doing this job, we'll lay our own charges, because we've got to get action going. You know, life is set in many. It happened 9 years ago, not a single criminal charge. And all the evidence is there. It's all we've had commissions of inquiries. We had you know, an inquest. It's all there. It's prosecution ready. What do you have to do to get criminal charges laid and get them, you know, in court? I mean, that's the frustration we all feel. But you know, what's also come out of this, you know, so the SIU does one thing very well, the asset forfeitures. And Mr. Marmela has got 500 billion rand plus in assets, and they've really attached a fair amount of them. Now, he's not just happy with one Lamborghini. He's got four Lamborghinis, you know, valued at sort of 51 million rand. He's got a Bentley. He's got a luxury boat. He's got properties worth 70 million and 90 million rand. I mean, this is conspicuous consumption on steroids. And then if you go to Tembisa Hospital and you see people in the corridors, crowded, broken machinery, long queues, staff shortages, 2 billion rand could have fixed that hospital up. So, I mean, what sort of immorality are we dealing with here? That people in ultra luxury, you know, not just one luxury car, but several luxury cars. I mean, do you even manage to drive your four Lamborghinis? They're just a fleet in your basement that you show off to your pals. I mean, that sort of tells you what's going on in this administration as a whole. I mean, you can get emotional about this because you see the suffering of people when you're stealing from sick people, because that's what's actually happening. I think the book should be thrown at you. And look, I sympathize with what the health minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, said at the SIU presentation. He said, well, in China, they execute them. And, you know, he said, well, obviously, we can't do it according to our constitution. But, you know, Minister Motsoaledi, you've been in charge as well. And Premier Lesufi, you are in charge. And abuses continue to happen. So it's one thing calling for the death penalty. You know, at this stage, we'd just like to have charges laid and pursued in court. But we don't even get that.
Now, Jack, yesterday, a former minister of police died in a mysterious fall in Paris just a week after being named at the Madlanga Commission. That's Nati Mtetwa, who was now the ambassador in France. Have you heard anything more?
Well, you know, apparently he sent a letter to his wife that he was going to take his own life. I mean, it's very tragic. You can't help but sort of make an inference that perhaps it was what was coming up at the commission and that, you know, he was possibly implicated. We don't know. There might have been personal issues. So, you know, at the end of the day, we need to see what comes out from the commission. But the tentacles are all over the place. They really are. We have a mafia state. That's what we have. You know, waiting in the wings to take over supposedly from President Cyril Ramaphosa is, our deputy president, Paul Mashatile. Now, when he was in the Gauteng legislature, there was this infamous Alex Mafia, which the speaker at the time said, you know, we're not allowed to say that word in the legislature. She banned the use of the term Alex Mafia. She said, oh, because it implies a criminal network. Well, that's exactly what you're dealing with. We are dealing with a criminal network. I got chucked out of the Gauteng legislature sittings a couple of times because I insisted on saying, you know, Alex Mafia. Why can't we say it? We've got free speech. And then I said that which may not be said. But now we are saying it. It is a mafia. The whole ANC is a criminal syndicate. I mean, that's actually what was said yesterday by a well-known political analyst. He said the ANC is a criminal syndicate itself. So here we have, if you get rid of one criminal syndicate, another takes over. But they seem to work together. That's what we've actually seen. So we still have a mystery syndicate that a large one, one of the big three that's going to be named. And now we talk about at the commission, we hear about the big five, drug cartels and the police are implicated. You know, it's such a mess. If we want to get to the bottom of this, we've just got to put good people in charge and give them the resources. But how on earth was Andrew Chayoka, who had been requested to be relieved of his position by the NPA head 2 years ago, and Cyril Ramaphosa sits on it for 2 years? Now, allegedly, he was the one that stalled the prosecutions of various people, including Brian Hlongwa, that long-running 15-year matter of massive corruption, which was 1 billion rand plus at the time, in the Gauteng Health Department. I don't think the Gauteng Health Department's ever recovered from that, because that's when the controls were dismantled. And I think the one sort of network of corruption was replaced by other networks of corruption. You see, why do people go to fish in the big golden pond of the Gauteng Health Department? I'll tell you why they're fishing it, because it's the second largest budget, competes with the Education Department as being the largest budget. It's 67 billion rand, and people look at this and say, wow, we can get so much money in contracts. And I tell you, look what happened during the COVID period. People were dying. There was a rush to build new facilities. You know, close to 2 billion rand emergency funds were made for PPE, you know, protective equipment, and to have emergency wards and all sorts of things. And I can tell you, that 2 billion rand, hardly any of it was spent on patients. And just what is the mentality of people when people are dying and emergency money is made available, and the first thing you can think of is that, oh, how can we get our money and, rip off prices for masks? And let's not forget the 500 million rand that was spent on, that Anglo Ashanti hospital in the far west rand, 500 million rand wasted completely. It's a vandalized hospital now. It wasn't even owned by the Gauteng Health Department. So, close to 2 billion rand was stolen during an emergency, a health emergency. So the vultures are still there. The vultures are still there. We don't see consequences. And, I just look at Premier Lesufi and I just say, you big hypocrite. Honestly, you can say what you want about, praising the SIU, but you are protecting too many people yourself. You're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jack, with us not knowing how many hospitals are still being leached by these syndicates or their proxies, you mentioned private prosecutions, but what about private investigations? Because as we have seen, we can't rely on the police.
Well, look what Jeff Wicks, working on his own, was able to achieve in a matter of months. I have to say, why don't we recruit real professionals and give them tight deadlines and, set them loose and sort of, as I said, specialized courts. We need to go for this. We need to, we do have tribunals, and the asset forfeitures seem to work. The civil prosecutions do seem to achieve something, but criminal prosecutions, no. Dololo, as they say. We don't see any fruits there. And until there are consequences, until people are in those orange overalls, that's what we need to see. The public want to see the big crooks in orange overalls, and and if there are politicians involved, I'm absolutely certain there's politicians involved. They must be there as well, and we mustn't have these legal stalling tactics. They always call it Stalingrad tactics of Jacob Zuma. They say justice denied is justice delayed. Well, we've seen that play over endlessly, and my colleague Glynis Reifenbach, of course, has got lots of experience in the NPA, and she's been banging the drum about this at in Parliament. And if the ANC wants to stop being accused number one, as our president himself has said, these things must come to court, and people must end up in prison. There's no way out of it. Speed it up. Show us that you're speeding up. Don't take 2 years before you act on, Andrew Chaoke. I mean, that's a scandal in itself.
Indeed. Thank you. That was Jack Bloom, the Democratic Alliance Shadow MEC for Health in Gauteng, speaking to BizNews. I'm Chris Steyn. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.